Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erios Original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we have a very important episode with fact-checker Chris and producer Amanda. And I just want to let everyone know that next week, we are going to be talking to a Lincoln assassination guest expert. But for today, we've got important things to talk about. Hi, Chris. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Alarmy.
Did you feel like weird because I introduced you differently today?
You kind of lumped us together. I felt a little bit of my identity slip away there. It's like, yeah. It's just sort of like you opened up the screen door and just let both of the dogs in. Come on in, guys.
My worst fear is overlapping dialogue. But I think we handled it pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bit of a stand-up for a second there. We can talk about that.
If you want, I can redo it.
No, I don't think that's necessary. No. We're in the house now. We're ready to alarm people.
Yeah. How has everyone's week been? Have we been alarmed this week?
It's been a weird week.
It is.
I mean, and it's not over yet, right? When this comes out, it's only Thursday, so there's still a couple days left of this week. And yeah.
Well, something that, you know, Amanda brought to my attention was that this particular week in history is a little scary. It's a little scary, right, Amanda?
Yeah, it's disaster week. So, like, we couldn't believe it when, because sometimes I'll Google, like, we'll try to hit episodes on their anniversaries, you know, just because why not, even though they always seem to pass us by. And then I'm like, oh, crap, it was the Titanic anniversary or something. But I was Googling like what was going on in April. And then the date of April 15th just kept popping up. And I was like, this is so weird. And so I looked a little bit more into it. And apparently the week of April 15th has had like 15 intense global disasters throughout history happen on it. And people are speculating that it's cursed.
I wonder if any listeners out there are celebrating a birthday, because
so wait, you're saying it's
we're not talking about you. It's not you guys.
So are you saying, Amanda, that people shouldn't beware the Ides of March, but they should beware the Ides of April?
I mean, I'm not saying that, but yes, that is what history seems to be telling us.
The rumor is not always, doesn't really align with the facts sometimes.
Rebecca,
investigative.
Why don't you read us through all the disasters that have happened this week? Because people are probably rolling their eyes, saying this sounds crazy, but wait till you hear this list.
So, starting off, April 15, Abraham Lincoln is assassinated in 1865. We just covered it. We know this. But let me remind you about a little well-known disaster that we covered first, the Titanic sinking on April 15, 1912.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
So, okay, that's a biggie. Oh, and it turns out another one we've covered unknowingly, you know, the unknowing that it was part of Disaster Week, Hillsborough disaster. That happened on April 15, 1989.
Oh, wow.
I mean, these are biggies.
These are biggies.
Some others we haven't covered, like the Boston Marathon. Sorry, if you hear any jingles, those are my dogs, and they're alarmed by Disaster Week. That's why they're all over the place this week. Dogs sense that. April 15, 2013, Boston Marathon.
Wow. Mm.
The Virginia Tech Massacre. Mm. That happened on April 16, 2006. I'm sorry, 2007. There was a West Fertilizer Company storage in West Texas, just north of Waco, that 15 people were killed and more than 160 were injured. There was an explosion of ammonium nitrate. That was April 17, 2013. Not that long ago. Ruby Ridge, which we've talked about, and we keep saying that we're going to cover.
Yeah, we got to
have to cover.
We
this.
Have to do all these ones that we haven't done. We should do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was April 18, 1992. There's a hello, Waco, April 19. That happened in Waco.
Crazy.
The David Koresh tragedy or the cult massacre. Oklahoma City bombing, April 19, 1995.
This is getting weird, right? Is everyone out there going like, okay, she's still going. This is kind of strange.
It's freaking me out. Well, this one on the list is Adolf Hitler is born on April 20th, 1889.
Oh my God.
So, bad day. And I just want to point out that this is from DaytonaDailyNews.com. Now, okay, so yeah, we're all laughing. But there was another article I found that, you know, stated the same Disaster Week tragedies, and that was the Florida Times.
Well,
I do understand.
They check their dates, right? It's not like these dates are wrong, so.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I get it. Some people are like, Florida news sources. I'm from Florida.
You can say that.
I could say that. No, but they're dates, you know. Ludlow Massacre.
Haven't heard
that.
That
was on April 20th, 1914. It says here, it was an attack by the Colorado National Guard and Colorado Fuel and Iron Company camp guards on a tent colony of 1,200 striking coal miners and their families at Ludlow, Colorado. 39 people, including women and 11 children, were killed.
I mean,
and,
wow.
And John D. Rockefeller Jr. was the chief mine owner.
We should cover it.
We
kind of know who's to blame there, and probably Johnny Boy.
Chris, don't jump to conclusions. Sadly, Columbine, April 20th, 1999.
Wow.
Yeah, do you think we'll ever do Columbine? It would be really interesting.
It would be. I'm really spooked by the mass shootings. Yeah. It's really close to home. It's one of my big fears.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe eventually we should cover it. We've done so many topics that I'm always like, this is, I don't think I'll ever be able to cover, but maybe we'll work ourselves up for it one day.
Yeah, maybe next year around this time we'll cover Columbine, because that one would just be so fascinating getting into the psychology, because at the time there were a lot of things people were blaming that I'm sure would be fascinating to dive into, like video games and types of music and all that.
Yeah, like the trench coats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The John Space Center shooting. It was an incident of hostage taking that occurred April 20th in 2007 at in the Communication and Tracking Development Laboratory at the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center in Houston. So that was another tragedy that happened. And the Deepwater Horizon, that's a big one. If you guys remember, it's a drilling rig explosion.
Oh.
That's a biggie.
Deepwater, yeah.
It killed 11 people, and it caused this rig to sink, and there was a massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
We haven't done an oil spill.
I want to say it's one of the biggest.
In a while.
Yeah, we haven't done. there are so many of them. That was April 22nd, 2010. Not that long ago.
Uh-uh.
I mean, some of these are very recent, sadly.
Is that all or are there more?
That's all I have on this list. There were 14.
I think there's something going on here. What do you all think?
It creeps me out. It really does, because it's like, what's in the cards here? Like, is it spring fever?
Well, why don't we do a quick alarmist round where we each put an idea up on the board, and then we can maybe send something to jail for disaster week?
Yeah, process of elimination. It's tried and true, Amanda.
Okay, I'll put it in the chat. So, okay, spring fever. Now, what do you mean by that?
I just mean, like, you know, we've all... I don't know if this really applies, but like, you know, it's the winter, people are cold, they're indoors. All of a sudden the weather is changing, and it just like kind of, I don't know if it just makes people go wilder, or they've just been caged up for too long and they get out there. I don't know.
It's interesting because I have noticed that my cat has spring fever right now. And so it started the minute there was a bird chirping. So we're having a beautiful spring right now in Los Angeles because we had a little rain and now everything's blooming. There's so many birds and animals and squirrels just running around. And my cat has just been, I hate to use this word, but she's hysterical. Every morning at 6 a.m., she's just, honestly, it's like 5:30. She's just running around the house like crazy. She's yowling. It's really intense. And so I do think there is something that happens with spring fever that can probably affect humans too, whether it's allergies, you know, maybe you have a little brain fog going on and you're not making good decisions. Or there is just something in the air during spring.
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, I mean, I just look at my own behavior. I've recently bought 3 new types of shoes.
Chris's spring fever.
It is really, if you know me, you know that's really not like me. I do not buy shoes in sort of clusters like this. What I'll usually do is I'll find myself in a TJ Maxx. You'll be off concentrating in the sort of cosmetics section, and I'll sort of meander over to the shoe section, sort of think to myself, you know what, it's been a couple of years since I bought some new running shoes, and then I'll buy them, and that's usually how I'll get my sneakers. But I've been online on eBay, okay, and I've bought a pair of white sneakers, a pair of black leather Reebok sneakers, and I just bought, and get this, Amanda, Mexican huarache sandals.
Oh, do you know what these are? I think I know. They're the kind of slide-ons.
Yeah. Woven, yes. Like leather woven.
Now, I'm not spending a lot. These are, I've spent at most, you know, $50 on a pair of sneakers.
We're being consumer conscious. since our DACA episode.
That's true. That's true. And so I'm buying it all on eBay. I don't know how conscious
I don't
that
know
is.
About that, Chris.
But anyway, you know, this is just behavior that I'm not used to seeing out of myself. So maybe there is something to this spring fever thing.
We could do a whole episode on your shoe purchases. We should add that. Email the Florida Times or whatever and have them add Chris's shoe splurge to their list.
Three shoes.
My finger hovered over to ask. I go on OfferUp, too.
Oh, yeah.
To find used shoes.
Yeah.
And there are these Lacoste leather high tops that this guy is selling. And they do not look new. They look used. You know, it's like they say normal wear or like used, you know?
Yeah.
And like never in my wildest dreams would I think about buying used sneakers to this degree of used. But for some reason, I was like, damn, those are nice. And like, they seem all right. They seem like they have some more gas in the tank. So I was thinking about buying them, but I don't know. I was able to resist the spring fever in that case.
Yeah, yeah. I think you want to stick to lightly used when it comes to shoes.
Although I must say that I have a difficult shoe size because my feet are small, and I'll get whatever I can find sometimes.
Yeah, I hear you. Now,
but I am a little alarmed at this sort of pattern of behavior on my part.
Yeah, something's off, right?
Yeah. So what about you, Amanda?
Okay, so I have something to put on the board.
Yeah. Okay.
And this.
Oh, right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, but that's okay. I think we'll just like get a couple things up there, and then we can deliberate. But this is one that doesn't really speak globally to the global disasters, but it definitely could justify what's going on in America, which is tax day.
Ah, that's a really solid. Solid choice to
that
put up on the board.
One. That is a really good
one. I mean, people are high stress. It's a difficult, sensitive time, and you're at the hands of your accountant's availability. There's such loss of control or something.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. I think you're right. Taxes represent some power greater that you are beholden to. And that does make people feel loss of control.
Yeah, you're either in a scramble or you've already filed your taxes and you're waiting to see if you might get a refund. And maybe that will influence your summer travel plans.
Yeah.
So
maybe anger. It could bring up a lot of anger
about the system.
I'll put it
on the board. As we heard with John, our guest last week on the Lincoln episode, I mean, I cut out a lot of his rant about the man. Maybe like I cut out almost all of it, but I did leave a taste of it in. And that sort of rage, I think, can surface during tax week. And he was certainly feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one. Maybe we can put up on the board. The light at the end of the tunnel syndrome.
Ooh,
right?
Okay.
Okay. So like what you were saying before, we've been cooped up in the winter, and then also, and this goes especially for kids and college students and teachers, summer is on the horizon, right? And so we all get that feeling of excitement, the endorphins are going, and they're like, we're almost out. And I think when people feel like they're almost out, they sort of let go a little bit of their inhibitions.
It's
of
like
their
senioritis.
Sort of restraint. Yeah, it's senioritis.
Senioritis. Okay, I'll put senioritis on the board too.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it.
That's great. I like both of them.
Yeah, it's like you stop caring, right? You just let loose and you were saying, your inhibitions go wild.
You're just like, I did it. You're like, I did it, but you haven't done it yet. But you're like, I pretty much do.
Yeah, you're like, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? Yeah, exactly. This amount of time off, and it's like, well, yeah.
I just thought of another one that we can also put up on the board. It usually falls around this time, and it kind of explains maybe why the disasters are around this time, but not the exact date. Easter?
Oh, interesting. Mm.
You know, Easter is a very, I guess, it's a violent, you know, we know it as like bunnies and eggs, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But when you get to the bottom of Easter and you really find out what it is all about. it's a persecution. It's, you know,
yeah.
You know, there's a, and it's not just like a, someone who was, it's just very violent. Mm-hmm.
It's also mm-hmm. like, you know, Jesus rises from the dead. So there's this sense of eternal life and maybe in some ways invincibility that uh-huh. people kind of are taking on.
That's interesting. That you know, that's another one that they left off the list, I guess, because like we don't really have a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
yeah. Okay, so I have something else to put on too, and I think Rebecca, you're gonna like this one. Mm-hmm. Daylight okay. savings time.
Yes.
Because when does that happen? And I know that hasn't
spring
been around.
Forward.
That hasn't been around forever, but it could justify some of the more recent domestic ones.
Well, that happens kind of in March.
Okay.
That's closer to the Ides of March. I know this because our wedding anniversary, the day after our wedding was daylight, landed on daylight savings time.
Oh, yeah.
So we had 1 hour less of sleep after going to sleep at like 6 a.m.
Oh,
yeah, and then we had to catch a flight.
We went to bed at
7. Honeymoon.
And we had to get out of the hotel room at 11. And we didn't have like a late checkout.
That was rough.
I mean, that was rough. That's really fun.
So I think that happens around early March.
But there's something about the days getting longer.
Yes. You feel like it kind of ties into senioritis. It's like you feel like you have more time. So you get greedy.
Mm.
It's like 6 o'clock rolls around and you're like, I still have daylight to do more.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, I'm doing the opposite of what the Alarmist podcast is meant to do, but it could be a combination of all these things, because if you think about all the tragedies, some of them were, you know, clearly done by people sort of like with bad intentions or whatever. But then some of them were just random kind of, you know, these explosions or what have you. So, or the oil spill, you know, those are sort of, I mean, we would have to take a deeper dive into those each and find out who's to blame. But, you know, it just seems like all these things could be conspiring to... together.
Oh, I'm just cross-referencing with the it's actually floridatoday.com, not Florida Times article. And the San Francisco earthquake, another one, April 18, 1906.
Interesting.
Earthquake. Wow. So even the planet Earth gets senioritis. Even the plate tectonics get spring fever.
I think so.
So should yeah. we go through this list and then see if we can narrow in on one?
Let's do it, Amanda.
Okay, so we have here spring fever, tax day, senioritis, Easter, and daylight savings time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're
you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay.
I'm thinking about, like, because there's a couple of them that we've done, so we know more about. So I'm trying to think of, like, the Hillsborough disaster, the Titanic, and Lincoln. Could you, spring fever have caused the Titanic to hit the ice?
Kind of.
Also, senioritis could have caused them to not have the binoculars.
And also senioritis, like, in that they wanted to get to the finish line faster.
Interesting.
You got greedy at the end. Probably not daylight savings time, though. I don't think, like, daylight savings time would have caused something like the Waco siege, the end of the Waco siege.
Yeah.
Or perhaps an earthquake, the San Francisco earthquake.
Yeah. And a tax day, I think, can go, because tax day is not the same all over the world.
That's right.
Right.
And it came later. It came later. Okay, so what do we have left?
So basically it's spring fever, senioritis, and Easter. And I think Easter we can take off because it's really just a Christian. It's not even on other people's radar.
That's true. It's pretty limited, too.
Let's do that. So I don't know. I'm kind of leaning... I understand senioritis because it's like you want to get to the summer. They're both like kind of spring fevery.
Yeah.
But it's getting to the finish line. I think I kind of want to go with senioritis.
I like...
Spring fever, it encompasses a little bit more, but senioritis makes more sense to me because it's more about like getting over it. It's like you just want to finish. You want to get there.
Well, as the person who... put senioritis up on the board, I might reward myself with the new pair of shoes. It goes in my direction.
I like senioritis. You know, the only one maybe it's a stretch for would be things like the earthquake. But even then, I mean, that one might be a stretch. We'll have to learn more about that earthquake.
Right.
We'll have to get to the bottom of that. What was going on behind that?
The Notre Dame Cathedral fire. That happened April 15th.
That's right. That's a really recent one.
Yeah. Was that senioritis?
It might have been because I think, we'll have to do that as an episode, actually. That would be a really interesting episode. But
yeah. Okay. What do we think? I think I'm just going to call it.
And this they're just sort of similar. And this is just sort of, we're not putting senioritis in jail per se. We're just putting them in a...
in like, a box?
I mean, because this is just sort of a ceremonial kind of... this isn't official, right? Because we haven't cross-checked this with the facility. We're not sure if they have the capacity, and they're really not expecting to put somebody in jail today.
Right, because also this one didn't have music or sound effects. Maybe we make this a tradition, and every year this week we retry Disaster Week. And
that's good. Yeah,
so because as we go, we'll have done more of these disasters, so we'll have more of an idea. But yeah, for now, maybe you just give senioritis the finger wag.
Okay, that sounds good.
And she maybe shake some pollen at it, just sort of like.
Okay, senioritis. you're getting the finger wag.
And if someone could do like a mouth sound effect for that, because I won't put anything in.
Okay. That's like from Jurassic Park, right?
That's perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
That's great. Okay good job.
We figured out Disaster Week. We have some emails. We have more emails.
Wow.
I'll read a few here. This is from Julie. And Julie says, hello. I wanted to weigh in on what was to blame for the events in Carrie. I think ultimately the cycle of abuse is to blame. Mm. Carrie was abused by her mother, who was also probably abused, and then went on to abuse her classmates. Bullying is another form of abuse, and her bullies were all also most likely abused, like Billy hitting Chris. It is well known that victims of abuse are more likely to become abusers themselves. Poor Carrie was just trapped in this horrible cycle of abuse. Just something to think about. Thanks for making the show. Big fan, Julie.
Nice. Good. Well put, Julie. I thought that was very convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We circled this idea, and I think we basically touched on it, but we didn't get it up on the board. So that's a great point.
Right.
So... Does it change our verdict? I mean, we essentially sent the mom, I believe, to the alarmist.
Let me confirm.
Or did
I don't think we sent the mom.
Did I just do that in
my head? No, I don't think so. I think we
sent... Religious abuse.
Okay. So instead of the cycle of abuse.
Yeah, it sort of encapsulated what was going on with the mom as well, and it was sort of a broader term. I mean, there was so much religious imagery in that movie. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So, but I think Julie makes a really good point, and definitely something to think about. I don't think this changes our verdict, but...
It sort of gets folded into the verdict a little
bit.
Yeah, I mean, probably would have folded it into... Yeah. Now, here's another listener who wrote in, and they said, "Hi, Alarmist crew. I just started your podcast about a month ago, and I can't believe I'm late to the super amazing party because it's a combo of all my favorite things, podcast, comedy, and history. Plus, like Rebecca, I have a lot of anxiety, so I feel very seen by you all. Do you have any plans to go back and cover Megxit again with the new information that came out during the Oprah interview? It was really wild for me to listen to the episode recorded more than a year ago right after the Oprah interview because so many things you guys wondered about in the episode were answered in the interview. Thanks so much for the podcast and the countless hours of entertainment. Hannah."
Interesting. Yeah, we should touch on that. Now, do you remember who we sent to jail? I think we maybe sent the royal family.
Yes, I think we did. And we really did touch on that whole like racism, unspoken racism that must have been happening in the family. And I do remember going really hard at the fact that the family didn't really stand up to her and didn't stand by her side.
And as we saw in the Oprah interview, that's essentially what Meghan and Harry are now saying. And they're kind of pulling out specific examples of both the royal family not standing up for them and sort of trying to, like, just sort of condescendingly be like, it's okay, it happens to everyone, not acknowledge that there is a racial element. And also, you know, they didn't go into details on this, but there's some alleged racism coming directly from the royal family.
That's
yeah,
right.
So,
I mean, they said it wasn't from the Queen and Philip, who just actually recently died. Prince Philip, but it's someone in the family, and there's a lot of speculation as to who it would be. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to point finger. A lot of people are saying Charles. Who knows? Who knows?
Interesting.
Some people are saying Prince William.
It doesn't feel like it would come from William and Kate, just because they're younger, and it just seems like such an antiquated. I know.
Right.
But who knows?
Who knows? I don't
My
know.
My favorite part of that interview was when they insinuated that Kate was jealous of Meghan for her performance on the Australia tour. And they like wouldn't point, they wouldn't say it out loud, but they were basically like, yes, you know, Meghan was so effervescent and everyone was calling her, she was just like Princess Diana, that, you know, not everyone was happy about that. And it was such shade.
I gotta say, I'm glad Meghan ended up marrying Harry. It really shakes things up over there. She's provided such great splashy headlines, and I'm sorry to her for, you know, any type of abuse she's suffered.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's not obviously what the ideal situation, but it does make for some really good gossip. It's good fodder.
She definitely shook things up. She perhaps saved Harry from a family he might have wanted to set some boundaries. You know, in a way, it really, it looks like Harry, I don't know, it just reflects to me what it looks like is someone in a family who went to some therapy and decided to, you know, set some boundaries.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to move away. And then the family is like, doesn't know what to do with these new boundaries, mm-hmm. and is flailing, and eventually they're going to settle and they're going to like the boundaries. They're going to be like, you know what? It's nice to have a house in Santa Barbara where we can go visit Harry on the West Coast. Eventually they're going to really like
it. I hope so. But yeah, I think if we did indeed send the royal family to jail, I feel like between the royal family and the tabloids, like, we kind of nailed it. And especially now that they're kind of saying that the royal family, in a way, puppeteers the tabloids and has a little bit more agency hosting True. Parties for them than maybe we realized. And perhaps this new information might have even influenced our Diana episode.
Good point.
It's true.
Well, you know, it's a perfect time to revisit this episode, our Megxit episode. Let us know if we should be altering any of our, you know, decisions regarding what to put up on the board and who we sent to the alarmist jail.
Yeah, let me just confirm who we sent. While you do the next email, I'll just confirm that we did send.
Just keep in mind that it's an extra added cost if we have to exhume Philip's body now that he passed away. That's logistics. It's not a big deal, but, you know, we would have to get the guys together.
We can always figure out how to do it in the alarmist jail.
Yeah, it's just expensive is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
We operate on a budget. And
Chris is, for someone who's bought 3 pairs of shoes within the last week, he's very concerned with the alarmist budget all of a sudden.
We have gotten those tips from Acast, and I do get my very small percentage of the revenue.
Your shoe budget.
And so,
your shoe budget, yeah.
Shoe budget.
So this is actually a listener via Instagram, and it's, well, one listener wrote in and said, I don't know, but C-word is Seward, not C-word.
That's fair. Okay. And I had to say, there were some jokes made about your pronunciation of that in the episode that hit the cutting room floor.
Oh, there were?
Yeah, those got cut.
So, I mean, okay, I'm sorry. It's Seward.
So Seward.
Noted. 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 Yes. What did you say? So Seward me?
So Seward me.
Okay. Now, that was from at LESAD 93. And this other comment is from at Thogmore. And they wrote in and said, not to be a downer, but I have to debunk the McSorley story. Lincoln didn't drink. Apparently, this is referring to Gabra saying that Lincoln got drunk at McSorley's, a tavern. Did Lincoln drink or not? I find it hard to believe that anyone in that time period didn't drink. But perhaps. Then at Thogmore says, it has to be John Ford, who owned the theater.
Mm.
This is all regarding our latest Lincoln assassination episode. The morning of the play, he ran into Booth at the National Post Office, who was there. Lincoln was there checking his mail. Not
Booth
Lincoln.
Was there.
I'm sorry, yeah. Booth. When they bumped into each other, Ford bragged to Booth the president was attending his theater that night. Had Ford not boasted, Booth wouldn't have had sufficient time to plan the assassination.
Interesting. Now, why do I find it hard to believe that that's the only reason, the morning of the assassination, that Booth knew? Because this seems like it had been kind of planned out, but...
Well, no, it is true that he found out that morning. Oh, okay. That is true, that he was going to be there. But my issue with this is... It came out in the paper too.
Mm.
And that was something that I guess was common. The newspaper would say when the president was going to the theater, because I'm assuming that the theater wanted that information out because ticket sales would go up, because people would want to go to the theater on the same night to maybe catch a glimpse of the president.
Interesting. I see. So yeah, so maybe we should have been a little bit, we never even brought up John Ford, so we could have put him on the board for sure.
He also, actually, this is again from @Thogmore, and they say, and one more thing, Robert was supposed to be in attendance of the play that night. This is Robert Lincoln he's referring to. He was supposed to be at the play that night that his father was shot, as he was Grant's personal secretary. He later contended he may have been able to potentially stop Booth had Grant's wife not insisted they get a head start on their planned travel. As a reminder, Booth waited behind Lincoln in the box, undetected for more than 90 seconds as he waited for Henry Hawk to be alone on stage and deliver his funny line. So maybe also Julia Grant. I have a hard time putting Julia Grant. It's like she just didn't want to go to the theater that night.
Yeah. And also this guy, is it Robert saying that he thinks he could have stopped Booth? I mean, maybe, maybe not.
That's what I think. It's like that. Who knows?
But it's fun to hear about all these little stories, you know, all these people sort of coming out and in a way making Lincoln's assassination about their own experience, which still, you know, is just a natural human response when something like this happens.
Yeah.
It's just, it really fleshes out the world. It's interesting.
It's so true. It's like everyone's always like, I was supposed to be on that, you know,
roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do a roller coaster coming off the tracks. Like a theme. We should do a theme park disaster.
Oh, we should do the one that Chris used to go to when he was a kid. Adventure
Park.
Have we ever done Action Park?
Yeah.
We should.
We can do that. That's a really good one, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's terribly sad.
By the way, the internet is giving me mixed signals on whether or not Lincoln drank. Some people say that he did. It's sort of a contentious issue because at the time there was a voting block that was, you know, anti-alcohol.
Yeah.
Voting block. So he had to sort of pander to them a bit, and he sort of had them on his side. But at the same time, he also, he ran this, what was essentially a saloon when he was younger, and they served liquor there. There's also reports of him being a doctor giving him a prescription to drink lager beer.
Well, that's how you would get alcohol back in those
right,
days.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
or women too.
So I'm not sure, but per the McSorley's thing, I just don't know if that's
true. We don't know.
Or not
enough evidence.
Well, I just don't have the time, and I gave the rest of the guys in the research department the day off. Because they were getting all spring fevery on me running around, and they weren't getting a lot of work done, so I gave those guys.
Are you talking about
off,
your dogs? So. Are they your research assistants?
Talking about my dogs and my shoes. Just the whole. I gave everybody. I put them all outside.
All the guys.
And
I love how you think our research department is just a bunch of
and
guys.
Shoes. That's really scary. I can also confirm that we did send the royal family to jail for the Megxit episode, and this was pre-Big Slap, so no, I don't believe anyone got slapped.
Oh, okay,
oh, wow.
Good to know. So I feel good about that verdict now. Really,
I
good.
Do too.
So, how are we doing with reviews heading towards our 100th episode, Amanda?
Yeah, good question. So, as we've mentioned, we are on a mission to get 100 reviews by our 100th episode. So if someone can, let me see, bring out their phone calculator. I'll have you do a little math to see how we're doing on this. Or someone can maybe do this in their head. I can't.
Not me, but I'll get my calculator.
I'm a trained fact checker, so I can definitely do it in my head.
Okay, so we are currently at, let me look for real here. I need to get exact numbers on this. Okay, so right now on Apple, we are at 1,331 ratings. So, okay. And when we started the Culver review just 2 days ago, we were at 1,326 ratings. So if you can subtract that.
That's five.
Okay, that's five. And then how, we got a couple of emails with people screenshotting their reviews because they're rating abroad and we don't see those on our end. So how many?
Right. Oh, I think that was two.
Okay, so that's seven.
So seven.
That's not bad because if we can get 10 new reviews a week, we'll make our goal.
Oh.
Is that how that works? Because this is episode 90, and then in 10 weeks we'll be at episode 100.
No, because we have two episodes a week,
but so we don't count those.
We don't count the aftermaths. Mm-mm.
Oh wow! So we've done way more than 100 episodes.
200 episodes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that if we're going by that, then yes, all we need is 10 a week, but. Well, that feels low. Couldn't we do more?
I think we could do more.
I don't want to get greedy.
I think it's like, this is what I'm afraid of, that everyone is going to, I just don't want it to peter out. So if you need to review right now. And if you think like, okay, she's not talking to me, I'm talking to you. So if you're one of those people who, what I call joy listens without rating and reviewing, you got to get on that. You know, you got to get on that phone and even just like, we're not even asking for a review like in text if you're not comfortable writing that. But I mean, why wouldn't you be? I'm just saying, click that 5-star, baby.
Yeah. Otherwise, you might get the finger whack.
Finger whack.
You might get the
finger whack.
Whack.
I mean, you could get a whack.
I meant to say whack.
Maybe you get
a whack.
You
get a whack if you come close enough.
The finger whack is and then the finger whack is You need side effects, don't you? For this episode.
Yeah, no one wants that. That last one's really scary.
No one wants that.
No. And there will be no joy listening on our show.
Why do you call that joy
listening? Well, I don't know why. I just thought of it like a joyride. It's like you're getting something for free, you know? It's like, if you're going to listen, you got to pony
you gotta
up.
Put your... Yeah, pony up that review. okay, that sounds good to me. I honestly, what I would love is to reach, 1,500 reviews.
I don't see why we couldn't.
By our 100th. I mean, it just looks so nice. So let's just do it, guys. Yeah. Come on, we can do it. Okay, so we've done all of our work for the day. We've covered all of our bases. And everyone, tune in next week because we're covering a very topical tragedy or disaster. We're going to be talking about the ship that got stuck on the Suez Canal. And then our next week's aftermath episode is going to be a lesson in the Lincoln assassination. We've got a really great guest expert lined up, so you're not going to want to miss that.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.